Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
Well, welcome to the ATS Mix. I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I am Dave Rabbit. How you doing, Johninator?
Pretty good, and I hope everybody else is doing pretty well. Hey, big news, history in the making. We have a new president-elect.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, you know, we did a special edition of the ATS Mix that's already up on the feeds if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, where we have special guest Bill Irvin, Homer Fife, yours truly, and of course my partner Johnny Anonymous, and we threw this around for about 90 minutes the other night, and boy, John, history in action.
Absolutely. Not only did we get history in a president, also in the first family.
Yeah, because now we have a new first dog coming into class, you know?
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yi-ki-yi.
Yippee-yi-yi.
Yes.
All right,
thank you.
Sorry.
We've got a pretty interesting show for today. We've got, of course, the UFO sightings. We're not going to do a skeptic overlord this time, Dave.
Thank God. You know, that guy is really chapping my ass, you know?
But we do have, continuing on with our lecture series, we have a great speaker that you and I got to meet at the Bay Area UFO Expo by the name of Robert O'Dean.
Yeah, what a class guy, man.
Full of information from his inside contacts and also from him being an insider himself. So I think everybody's going to enjoy that. But as I said, we're not going to have the skeptic overlord. But you know, we did a segment last week that was different than most of the overviews that we do. And that was where Bill Irvin, our CEO for AboveTopSecret.com, whipped out some emails that were.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yeah, boy, sorry. That sounds reminiscent of something that I heard from.
I am so sorry. Yeah. Blazing Saddles. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that since there was such an overwhelming response from that little segment, wouldn't it be kind of neat if we could see if we could get two home runs for the price of one? And so we have another little section that a lot of people don't know about where people can come on that are not members at ATS and anonymously post their comments on the forum and the thread. And I thought, you know, I bet there's somebody that has a library, a cornucopia, if you will, of these type of anonymous posts. And you know who I'm thinking about, don't you, Dave?
I most certainly do, baby puppy. That would be the administrator, one of our administrators and one of our bosses at AboveTopSecret.com and the Above Network LLC, Cracker, a.k.a. Steven Melzer. Steve-O. Gladys Jean?
Hello?
Is this Gladys Jean?
No.
Is this Steven's secretary?
No, this is Gloria. Can I help you?
Well, I mean, all right, Gloria. So what are you to Steven? Are you, like, answering his phone for him or what?
I do the accounting here.
You do the accounting?
Laura is the assistant.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Then my apologies for calling you Gladys Jean, because every time I call Steven and say, this is Dave Rabbit, then she tells Steven it's Mark Allen pretending to be Dave Rabbit. And I'll have none of that. Do you understand me? All right, you tell him it's the real Dave Rabbit, please. He's expecting my call.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Yep.
Yeah, don't sugarcoat it, Dave.
Hey, for horses. Yeah, we just had a conversation with your accountant.
My bookkeeper, yeah. We had it all set up when Laura was going to screw around with you guys, but I guess she got scared and fled.
Yeah, she better be good. When you hear this intro back, you'll understand that.
Uh-oh.
All right.
You want me to go right into them, or you want me to explain why I started collecting?
Would you like to say hello to the membership and the guest of Above?
The hell with them.
.com? Oh, okay, good.
The hell with them. Hi, guys. Hey, everyone listening. You know, I know you guys have seen this from time to time, but, you know, I would say that there's maybe 10 or 15 things that come up on the site on a regular basis. Are we COINTELPRO? Are we CIA? Are we religious, right-wing, fanatical funded?
Right.
Are we shape-shifting reptilians? Yes to all of them. The one thing that comes up the most that we have yet to completely stop with regards to the members asking is, why do threads mysteriously get bumped, and why don't we get to see the anonymous posts before the staff approves of them?
Right.
And the answer is simple. Because these people say some crazy stuff. And so what I've been doing is I've been collecting them, and I've been saving some of the best so that hopefully the members listen to this and understand why we don't allow them to go live immediately.
So this isn't going to be like in a new cracker book that'll be released later on through ATS, right?
Oh, maybe.
Hey, we may get
Jim. Never mind. I'm keeping these to myself.
we might get Jim Mars to do a sequel to the new book that's coming out this month, as a matter of fact. Above Thompson.
This month, I think next week.
Yeah, next week. Wow.
Yes, the book does drop next week, and I actually have about 150 of them sitting here, and they look fabulous. I've been using them as coasters.
I love those. Okay.
Yeah, that way they each have an authentic cracker ring on them.
A cracker ring. Okay.
A cracker ring.
So many ways
That sounds like a Beretta episode.
Pardon me.
I was thinking of something far worse than that, but okay, Beretta. Show your age. Do you want to explain who Beretta is to our members?
No. Screw them.
The only thing they need to know is don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
The time. That's right. And then let your little necks cock up and down.
What was that black guy's
name?
What was that?
Who are you upping? What?
That little parrot that goes, you know, the cockatoo.
Ah, well, thank you for finishing that sentence there.
All right. Yeah, the cock goes up and down. I meant the cockatoo goes up and down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to bleep this thing out, all right?
No, okay. But here's the thing, you know. You know, we have one of your partners, Steve-O, a.k.a. the Springinator. Here's the thing. You know, he loves doing his imitation of Huggy Bear, which was one of the characters on Beretta, as we speak of Beretta.
No, Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, Huggy Bear was Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah.
Well, it was the black guy with
the
bad
accent. Well, this trivia segment's going out
the window. I'm sure there was a black guy with a bad accent on Beretta also.
What was that guy's name? Seymour? What was his name?
Seymour. I have no idea. Was Beretta the one with the bird?
Yeah. Wasn't that Huggy Bear?
No, it's Starsky and Hutch.
Well, who the hell was the black guy?
And Snoop Dogg played him in the movie they did.
Yes.
Which, by the way, perfect casting. Not that the original Huggy Bear wasn't perfect casting.
I'm sorry. You know, these guys in Hollywood that don't have the imagination to come up with a new movie, sorry. You know, I'm so tired of seeing
I gave them your phone number, Dave. I don't.
Thank you.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, bite me. All right. So anyway, Steve-O, you've got a collection of things on anonymous posts. And may I say one thing about this anonymous post? That they appear to us as moderators and administrators, but they do not appear to the public. So that's the reason why these things get bumped. They're posting, and that does the bump cycle. But it just doesn't show, right?
Is that
the
rule?
Right. Well, what happens is someone comes in, and you know, we have roughly a million and a half people coming a month, of which about 90% are anonymous or posting anonymously, I think. And Bill will probably correct me or scream at me for making wrong numbers or correct numbers, I guess. But what they do is they come in, they post anonymously, and then the thread moves right up to the top. And the only way it can be seen is when you reply. I think they show up. You know, when you hit reply, if the thread is still showing the other posts. So occasionally someone does respond to an anonymous post without the anonymous post being seen, and we all freak out and try and figure out how it happened. But for the most part, it bumps a thread. Someone posts, and it happens usually in a four-year-old thread that no one's posted in for a while, and all of a sudden there's a whole new discussion on some topic that is 4 years old, and people start going crazy about why is this brought up. The complaints come in, or the ATS issues thread gets a new post. Why are these threads getting bumped? And so we have to explain it. But basically, there's a thread that the staff sees. It's called the Anonymous Post Log. It shows every anonymous post. We go in, we see it, and we can either kill it or show it. And it's easier to read these things when they're in the threads because we can see them in the threads.
Oh, yeah.
Reading them out of context, and you'll see when I read these, reading them out of context is frightening. It doesn't matter what they said. Even the ones that are very valid and make perfect sense when you read them, just cold and have no idea what the topic is, it's a scary thing.
Well, give us some examples.
Yeah, go ahead with it.
Okay, now you have to take into consideration the fact that obviously I tried to not pick anything that was shown, and I think maybe one of them was, but I thought it was hysterical. in general, it seems that our anonymous posters are either posting from another country and using a bad translation software, have horrific spelling, are really just angry, or crazy. So take that into consideration, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce the words as they're spelled where necessary.
Oh, this will be fun.
This will be fun.
Okay, this first one, I actually pulled this one just because I thought it was kind of interesting that someone went to this distance to figure this one out. Here we go. I've thought about this quite a bit. An easy way for you to fake your own death would be to stage your own murder by breaking into your own house and getting your own blood on everything, and maybe someone else's too, if you wanted the police to have a suspect. Then just leave. The cops would assume that the assailant took the body with them, and after a thorough search, they would declare you dead. You could then move out of state and come up with fake papers and live a new life.
What, that one just, I have to ask.
Genius.
What thread was that on?
Again, I have no idea.
Holy mackerel.
That's why it was so funny.
Wow.
I can't imagine we had a thread where we were discussing how to flee the, you know, flee the country without getting caught. But I like the idea that he went to this, to the distance of actually wanting to spread his own blood all over his house and even implicating a friend or associate by using their blood.
Yeah, you want to get back at an old boss? Here you go, baby.
Yeah. How do you respond to that? Dave, can I borrow some blood, like a cup or two? I just need to spread it around my house. Yeah.
And how about your comb? I need the comb so I can get some hair follicles for the DNA.
I got news for you. With all the CSIs that's going on, I mean, my Lord, everybody knows how to do all this stuff now. Wow, that's a weird one. Okay, what else?
Yeah, and especially since it was just in there. And usually they're sandwiched in. So the way I'm reading them is pretty much how they appear on the page. Because it'll be like a post about aliens, a post about the election, a post about, you know, secret society, as opposed to about Dave's a jerk or whatever, and then it just goes on and on and on. And yes, Dave, there are some of those.
Oh, I know.
And this next one,
but I don't give a rat's ass.
And speaking of rat's ass, I'm sure that there has to be a few on there that probably lean towards the rat's ass category that aren't not so prim and proper. Would that be correct?
I think this next one is pretty much going to cover that for
okay.
you.
Good.
I would like to say that I will change one word where necessary. You'll okay. know the word when you hear it. Otherwise, it is there for all of us to see. The spelling is atrocious, which uh-huh. you would expect from someone who would actually say this. And I'm going to pronounce it phonetically where necessary.
Okay.
You guys are all such fagots. You sit on the computer and talk about things like gay Egyptians, you fagots. Why are you all such gay homos that like sucking rooster? This one was in an ATS mix.
And you probably and you substituted the word rooster for another word, I'm
another
sure.
Another word.
Yeah. Right, I substituted rooster for the word fish.
All right, thank you, Beretta's bird.
Yeah.
Yes. That Dave first mentioned without the a two on it. Yeah, all right.
Yes. Okay, the next one is one where someone apparently is concerned with the members and non-members, I guess, and their stability. All of you people should make sure...
Wow, okay.
Again, we're talking about the two of you.
Yes.
All of you people should make sure you don't get locked in just communicating on this site. It is vital that everything discussed in here does not stay on only within here. Otherwise, it would be like being concentration camped and the mirror doors are invisible. Don't forget physical ink and public places. I'm assuming he meant public. Where fleshy beings actually are, resistance is a body concept from France.
What the hell does that mean?
Wow.
I'm not really sure. He's telling people to get outside and get some fresh air. I don't know.
Or is he saying make shortcuts to things in our site so other people come there and look at it?
Or tell people that what's on our site in other forms other than the internet.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's actually, that could be it.
Mm-hmm. And to remember that mirror doors are invisible.
Yes, they are.
Well, is that like a matador?
And don't forget that there's physical ink and metaphysical ink, I guess.
But is it like a matador, Steve-O?
It's a cross between a mirror and a matador.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, with horns.
Whatever that is.
It's a mirror that's bullish on himself. All right. Okay.
This one starts off with a good line because this one is actually something that from time to time we see these kind of discussions on the site, and I am a firm believer in what is in the movies is generally not true when it's deemed a horror film.
Okay.
this first line is not mine, this is the member, or the anonymous person. I think this is amazing. I love mysterious discussions, and I'm a very big werewolf fan. But the question is, do they really exist? If I could go about, if I would go out exploring and try to find any proof of werewolves, I only wish people would take the time to solve some of Earth's unsolved questions, and then they go looking for life on other planets, which is nothing wrong with it. But come on, people, we barely know what's going on our own planet.
Yeah. So this person believes that there's werewolves, and he wants us to
I think he's saying we should focus on finding the werewolves before we go start exploring outer space, which I think is true.
I love there's that. There's a lot of questions here on Earth that are unanswered that we should try to answer first before we start heading out towards space. At least that's how
I got the werewolf problem.
Steve-O, we have a remote scheduled for Transylvania in about a couple of months that Johnny and I are going to go on.
Ooh, can I come?
Yeah, a lot of sucking going on over there.
What?
Yeah, rooster, right?
What?
And with that comment, I will bring you to the next one, and I'm going to pronounce this as best as I possibly can, and you guys have a printout in front of you, so you know what it says. Zebi Badan Ya Metnakin Ya Fagin.
What the hell is that?
I just initiated some kind of terror attack, I would like to apologize.
I was just going to say, you probably just offended a bunch of our Arab friends or something, you know.
I don't know what I just said, but if anything happens as a result of my saying it, it was totally unintentional.
Yeah,
it was sort of like saying Beetlejuice three times. Like,
weird. Oh, you know, that may be what it is.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. If something strange happens to me or one of you guys or one of our listeners, just let me know and I'll apologize.
All right. Everybody, you to you, Steve.
Well, if we're dead.
Yeah, right. Everybody, you to you, Cracker. Let them know something strange happens when I read that crazy line.
Right. All right. Good.
Hey, wait a minute. You to you, Cracker, Dave, or I, if you actually know what the meaning of that sentence means.
Yeah, yes, give me five. I'm not going to tell you how many A's are in the word bedan or how many E's in stedin. Let's just say there's more than 20.
All right, we'll give you 500 applause points if you let one of us know what it means.
Yeah.
Hell, I'll give you 5,000 if you can come up with something worth me hearing.
Okay, you to you, Cracker, for the 5,000 points, because all we're capable of doing is 500 applause points. All right, go ahead. What's the next one?
What, does that ever stop you from offering out points?
No,
I'm always getting a year to you from you to send about.
I know, hell. I mean, hell, I gave 50,000 points just this morning or something. Yeah,
100 total, 50, 30,
yeah,
and
100,000 points for the caption contest, I know. All right.
Okay, now this next one, I just thought it was kind of funny because it was actually, I'm assuming, from one of the aerospace or tech threads, but this one just says, I am a model airplane. I wanted to know if you can have it. Let me start over because it's good. I am a model airplane. I wanted to know if you can have the drawings in the plant, three views, of MiG-39 to build radio. Thank you.
You know,
yes.
And not too bad for a model airplane to be able to speak.
I was impressed with the diction.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the diction
and
the grammar for a model airplane. I'm just curious, what were they typing with?
Now, the HP, does that mean Hewlett-Packard or what?
Yeah, it does say HP. I would imagine that's high because the I and the P are a few spaces apart. That's why I didn't bother putting it there. Because our next one is a good one with an English translation issue. And this one, you'll know who it's for. I'm going to leave her email out because I don't think everybody needs to be emailing this girl.
Oh, yeah. Right.
However, this is addressed to a specific member and everyone will know who it is.
Okay.
You are pretty welcome here. Everybody pleases to themselves to hear again somewhat from you, and we hope everybody you to find here still long. With pleasure, I would chat once personally with you. I'm assuming that's because I would have to tell you a lot. Maybe you have sometimes desire in addition, which it is quite great that one finds you here, smiley face. I give you sometimes my email address, and if you feel like announces, sometimes you can text me. We'll remove that, although I'm texting her just because I think it'll be great. Wish you all the best. I hope I hear from you soon. Best greetings from Germany, and we'll leave her name out.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was an offer for some love.
You think?
Everybody pleases to themselves. I was pleasing to myself before you guys called.
Bump.
Okay.
Speaking about naked buns.
Yes.
Excuse me, I didn't say I was thinking about that. What brought that on?
Well, because you're the next one you're going to read.
The next one?
Yeah, Bummer.
Oh, Bummer. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm not moving
Hello?
Far enough that
you
story.
Sent this to us, Steve.
I know, but, you know, I didn't know you were going to segue into them like
All
that.
Very good. Sorry.
This next one actually might have been made live. I don't know. It was the first one I saw, and it was actually what made me start doing this because I thought it was just hysterical. Bummer, I know. The laws of thermodynamics are like the mom of the universe. They exist purely because she says so. Doesn't really get any deeper than that, does it? And this next one I think everyone's going to love. I have no idea where it's from, what it's about. I'm sure it has something to do with someone's crazy conspiracy, but
well, maybe
here we
Dave
go.
And I, maybe Dave and I can help you
guys
out.
Are you ready for your cue?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Okay, the part that you guys are doing, just so everyone knows, is actually in the Post.
Yeah, we know that.
I'm letting them know.
Oh.
Because they can't read, Dave.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
They don't have it in front of them. I didn't distribute
Aren't they
it to
members
everybody.
Of the DM Warwick Psychic Network and clairvoyant enough to know what we're going to say?
Very good.
They should be. They should be. You're right. Let's just end the show now.
All right.
Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Paranoia, paranoia, paranoia.
Cha, 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 cha.
At least I don't have a Facebook profile.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. I don't have a Facebook profile, so I don't know. Maybe that's what you do when you sign on is you sing. I'm unaware of it.
And then add a cha-cha-cha to the end.
I love the cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, right? Now, this next one is one of the examples that I've pulled of why these things don't just go live.
By the way, a quick disclaimer here.
I was just going to give it.
Okay, well then go ahead.
Please don't hold ATS, Dave, Johnny, or myself responsible for what I'm about to say. I don't agree with it. I don't find it to be anything other than pure, unadulterated, ignorant hatred, and I think it's a good example of why we don't put these things live. Good enough?
Oh, I love that.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, and if you do have a problem, you to you, Steve-O, at the Above Network LLC. Go ahead, Steve-O.
Okay. Now, also take into consideration that it's obvious what this is about, and yes, I am Jewish, so when I say this, I do find it to be offensive. Think about who owns the banks in the banking industry. All the big names and big execs happen to be Jewish, or at least 90% of the peeps. Hell, the head of the Fed is Jewish. So is it sheer coincidence that not one Jew voted against this banking bailout? A match can start a forest fire. Besides, you're dumb Jew. I don't know the facts. He never posted them with a full count of everyone's vote and their religion or anything else. He just posted some random personal thoughts on the matter. He may be right or wrong, but I would steer towards the starboard. And then there's a word removed. We don't know what it is. Who else but a Jew do you people want to handle the money? Wouldn't you want to enter a black man for your team in a watermelon eating contest?
Ouch.
I think that says it all.
Yeah, and you know what? This is wrong on so many different levels. As a matter of fact, we do have the one Jew that voted against the banking bailout over here. Come out of here, Herschel!
Herschel Walker?
Actually, this thread that was posted in was started by somebody, and it said, like, 90% of the votes against the bailout were Jews, and it turns out that 9 people voted that were Jewish or something, and it was the exact opposite. And by the time one of our members, and I don't remember who it was, I want to say Loam, but it might not have been, forgive me if I'm wrong, found the actual listing and basically the listing of the religious names. By the time he had put that up, there were about 6 pages of our members, and these people were so ridiculous in what they were saying and calling for the heads of Jews. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. And one post from this one member basically shut everybody up. We changed the title, and everybody looked like an idiot for saying what they said.
Wow.
It's but again, that's not something we believe here. But this is why these things don't go live.
Well, you know, that's actually kind of a retarded post. I'm sure you have to have other retarded posts.
Oh, there's plenty of retarded posts. Let me get to this next one. Are you all seriously retarded? Nothing is going to happen October 14th, 2008. You guys really need to start finding jobs and hobbies and stop this BS nonsense. Why can't the mods just close this thread and let us move on? I will bet anyone $1,000 that this will not take place on October 14th, 2008. You people need to grow up. Seriously. Now, what's great about this one is the non-member, the guest, is upset that this thread is being continued and people are posting it and getting ads to it.
Yeah. That's what I love about
best thing, you see a lot of that where people say, I can't believe this is still open. Why is anyone posting in this?
You know what would have what would have made this even more moronic is if, you know, he says, I will bet anyone $1,000 that this will not take place on October 14th, but his posting came dated October 15th. And on October 15th.
Yeah, right. Oh, actually, it's possible that is. I didn't even look at the dates. I'll have to go back and timestamp it. Now, this next one is a good example of, I'm guessing, what happens when kids aren't in school.
Or when they're dropped on their head.
Or when they should be going to school and learning and stuff.
Yeah.
It's in all caps, which is sort of annoying. To give you an idea of just how horrible this is, school is spelled S-K-O-O-L.
All right.
And herd is H-E-R-D.
All right.
Now,
you know
he doesn't mean like the herd.
Yeah. Now, before you read this, though, you know what's really sad about this? And I've read, and as you say, Steve-O, you sent this to Johnny and I, and I've read through it. What's really sad is this is not some numbnut out there trying to look stupid. This is a stupid person trying to communicate in the real world.
That's exactly.
Is it funny? I mean, this guy is stupid.
I'm pretty sure that this guy actually was trying to tell a story.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
And he was serious. And I'm guessing he's a kid because he mentions his school, I think. Well, here we go. I've been in school the number four, and then in parentheses it says, at 1 a.m. It is pitch black. It is haunted. I heard voices, no lie. It wasn't my friends because I was dared to go in alone, and I did. It was kids screaming. It wasn't loud, but just to where I could hear it. There is a room with a hole in the floor. It's on the left short hallway, bottom floor, first room on the right. It's the basement. That's where the voices were coming from. Now, I went down there. I never did believe in ghosts. I thought it was my friends down there. So there I go in the basement. There was somebody down there. They ran past me in one of those little rooms. So I went in that room. Nobody was there. Expletive removed. So then I ran to look for them. I called and they were still in the car. So I ran. Wait, did I skip a line there? It's very hard. Yeah, let me go back to that because it's hard because it's all caps. So then I ran to get out of there. There was wood over the hole. I thought it was my friend, but then I got it off and went to look for them. I called and they were still in the car. So I ran out the school. Do not go in school four. This is not an old message. This message is from 2008.
Wow. He's a time traveler also.
Well,
No, not a time traveler. They're telling you that they are not a time traveler. I don't know what school four is. Apparently it's haunted. I don't know why any kid in their right mind would break into their school at 1 a.m. to go snooping around.
Well, you know, I got to take back my stupid comment because I do think now that I've read it the third time that it is some kiddo that really, I don't know what school he's going to. School 4 ain't teaching very much language, I can tell you that. but I take back my stupid comment because this could be very easily a kid. And he does make a little bit, or she does make a little sense in trying to tell their story. It's kind of all thrown together. What the hell is school 4, though?
I don't know. If anyone knows what school 4 is, you to you, Johnny, or Dave. Do not you to you, me. You can, but I won't answer it because I'll be getting 12,000 UUs with the other thing.
Yeah.
Now, this next one also involves a child, and apparently there was a kid who, I don't know, was playing with a gun and shot himself or something, and I just thought this was hysterical. This is an anonymous post in response to it. I don't understand why an 8-year-old would start with an Uzi. I mean, come on, give the kid like a .22 or something with no recoil. That would satisfy an 8-year-old. Pretty sad.
This must be from one of the southern states.
Mark Neighbor from down south.
Yeah.
This is one of those pure examples of why people do tend to think maybe there should be some more gun control laws in this country.
Wow, really?
I don't know what happened with an 8-year-old playing with an Uzi. I just don't think an 8-year-old should play with a gun. Although I will say that when I was about 8, I was taken to a firing range by an uncle, and I thought it was pretty cool. I did not get to handle anything bigger than a .22.
Did they fire you?
Maybe this guy's right.
Did they fire? They fire you, Steve-O?
Did they fire me?
Yeah, you went to a firing range. I thought maybe they fired you.
That's bad.
Sorry.
Send those YouTube to Dave Rabbit. All right.
Okay, and now we come into the unknown territory category, because Steve-O's got four he wants to share with us that Johnny and I don't know a thing about, so we're going to be at the Silence of the Lambs episode here.
Right. Okay, this is a nice mix. This one is just a great comment. I surmise that large numbers of Hispanics in California would be one factor. Their image of the macho man doesn't include homosexuals.
What?
What the hell was that?
What?
I don't know. Taken in the context of the anonymous log, I thought it was hysterical. Whoa. The Macho Man was capitalized. I guess that's to show you that it's very important in this comment.
Ah.
The next one, hold on to your stomachs.
Uh-oh.
I can see into the future by looking at the pieces in people's sick.
What?
I know this sounds crazy.
In their what?
Sick, vomit, puke.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sick. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
I know this sounds crazy, but I swear it's all true. I predicted that several terrorist attacks in my country of Palestine, which all came true. Recently, I predicted Obama will kill all the Jews, and I'm very worried. I learned how to do this when I trip over a lizard and landed in a pot of toxic waste.
Okay.
I hope you all take this very seriously as I did yours.
Oh,
yours faithfully, Anonymous.
Which, by the way, is no kin to me.
No, you know,
none
of these are from any of Johnny's relatives that we
right.
know of.
That's right.
What a friggin' wacko.
Although this one might be you, Johnny, if you think anyway near like I think. And this last one is my favorite.
All right.
I propose a mountain stronghold where I will be supreme benevolent commander. Ladies, welcome.
Actually, I think I may have written that one.
Is that yours?
No,
I had to go check and see if I accidentally posted anonymously when I looked at that one.
That may have been Tom Cruise's. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, nice.
Well, you know, doesn't he want to have a stronghold somewhere in Utah and a landing strip?
In a volcano? With
yeah, wherever the returning aliens are supposed to be coming from?
Really?
You know, he's nuts.
Ah, we need to interview that guy then.
If you could get him on the radio to talk, that'd be stellar, because all you'd have to do is ask him about his healing hands. That would satisfy me.
Wow.
I don't care about the flying that he thinks he can do. Or anything. I just want to know about the healing hands. You know what? I'm willing to pay him out of pocket for that call.
Oh, why?
As long as they record it.
All right. Cool. All right.
Mom of the Universe, yes, Mom of the Universe wants to let us know that it's time for us to stop spinning this blue marble around in the anonymous world and get back to reality here. So we want to thank you, Steve-O, for joining us in our intro into episode 104.
You're most welcome, and I will be sure to grab a few more as I see them fit for the show or not fit for the show, and I'll edit them appropriately.
Yeah, keep those cards and letters coming in to Steve-O, by the way.
Yes, send $1 to Johnny Anonymous.
Well, listen, Steve, stay with us, because right now it's time for us to get into our UFO sightings.
Okay.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From above, topsecret.com.
Ah, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
This is Tamril from Godbox Cafe with sightings from across Canada. In Edmonton, Alberta, at approximately 7:45 p.m., a witness noticed a peculiar red light in the sky northeast of his home while in the backyard. Initially, the view was less than 1 kilometer away, and the object was about 2,000 feet from the deck. At first, the witness assumed it was a helicopter conducting a search, as it was traveling too slowly for a winged aircraft. Upon further observation, the object made no sound whatsoever while traveling slowly from north to south. The witness called out to his wife, and she concurred that there was no sound and that the light was red-orange. The object in the front was U-shaped, while the rear was obscured due to the brightness of the light emitted. The witness continued to observe this movement and finally saw it accelerate at an unprecedented speed on a slight arc to the southeast while gaining altitude and disappearing out of sight. At the same time, in the evening, 10 witnesses in Whitby, Ontario, spotted a diamond-shaped bright orange object traveling from south to north over Lake Simcoe for approximately 30 seconds. There appeared to be a bright flame shooting out of one corner and once again made no sound. Lastly, at 7:30 p.m. in London, Ontario, 2 witnesses noticed an object moving fairly fast from southwest to northeast at the height a helicopter would fly. The witness reporting described it as a soundless, fiery bright light with a dome-like, opaque top which gave it the appearance of a jellyfish. When it arrived in the northeast, it seemed to slow down and disappear, only to be replaced by a second object from the southeast with the exact path. This, too, disappeared to be replaced by a third such object, all three looking identical and traveling the same path and speed. On looking at one through the binoculars, the witness compared it to an X-ray of an eyeball, a round ball of fire with red vein-like patterns. This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe, keeping my eyes to the skies for AboveTopSecret.com.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Georgia, a viewer stated, I had just received a new high-tech telescope for my October 2nd birthday. When using it, I was studying the stars around the moon and noticed that one of the stars seemed to be barely changing position, moving about an eighth of a centimeter to the right. I focused the lens and noticed that after moving an eighth of a centimeter, it had suddenly become about one-half times bigger, coming closer to me in around 2.5 seconds. As it got closer, it became green from white. It was about 60 feet in length and 20 feet high. It was an exact oval with only tinted windows. I could see one figure, but it was too dark to see the color facial features of the figure. Looking through the window, I saw an advanced computer-like screen above and behind the figure, which consisted of triangles, slashes, circles, and squares with dots and dashes inside of the language-like shapes. It hovered over the golf course lake, and then all of a sudden it zapped a beam-like laser at me, and it felt like I was entering heaven. It was the best feeling I ever had, and then my left arm had whatsoever no feeling in it. I couldn't lift it, I couldn't feel it, and I touched it, and the craft sped off in a light speed. In Alaska, an observer noted, my son and daughter and I were throwing a football when a 500-foot-long, 50-foot-wide cylinder shape above Pioneer Peak, Mount Palmer, Alaska, caught my eye. We were looking from Wasilla. It was about 25,000 to 30,000 feet high. From the left side, about a fifth of its length was red. It had no wings or motion at first. Then it blinked out, moving about an eighth of a mile. It did this four times before just blinking out and disappearing. I had a tree to judge movement it moved at each blink. It looked like it was made of stainless steel, and it was very shiny. It had no sound, no wings or exhaust, yet moved not just in one direction, but back and forth, which I know can't happen. It was large. I could not tell its depth. The sighting lasted about 5 minutes after it blinked two times. I sent my daughter inside to get the camera, but it was over by the time she got back out. This is David C., reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
AboveTopSecret.
Jesus Christ!
.com.
What's the deal here, baby puppy?
Well, what's the deal here is that we're going to do a little flashback right now back to the Bay Area UFO Expo when we were interviewing Les Velez. But for the life of me, we were standing next to the coffee concession area, and I called him Les Valdez. So apologies there, Les. Here's our little flashback with Les Velez at the Bay Area UFO Expo.
ATF. Flashback.
In fact, right now we'd like to introduce to our listeners and our members alike to Mr. Les Valdez of the Opus Association. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Johnny, hey, how are you? Dave, good to see you.
Hey, Les, good to see you.
Yeah, I wanted to say congratulations on your 100th show.
Yeah, there's rumors.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. I mean, it's just totally amazing.
Yes, people thought after the first show, oh, I can't believe they gave these guys a show.
Oh, what?
They're still regretting it, 98 shows, 99 shows. 100 shows later, Jeff.
That is true. Yeah. Well, Les, one of the reasons we wanted to pull you aside is you had this wonderful function going on the other night here at the Expo, and I thought since you had a few moments, we had a few moments, I'd have you sit down with us and you could possibly tell our listeners a little bit more about the Opus Association and why it was even created.
Right. Well, back in 1994, Opus, which stands for the Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support, was created basically to help people that are having paranormal things going on in their lives, whether it's poltergeist activity. More recently, we've gotten really involved with abduction-type scenarios where people claim that they've been taken by aliens from another place, another world, whatever. And they're looking for help because they don't know who to turn to. Mainstream medical community is not really that familiar with it. So what we've done is we've created a network of medical doctors, mental health practitioners, various types of consultants, hypnotherapists, that we can actually send people to. Now, the network is still building. This is one of the things that we need help in, trying to get the word out that we exist so that people in those fields will basically let themselves be known. We've put out information through MUFON, and they've put out letters to the community. So we're starting to get some really good feedback. The network is getting bigger. We also have created an online support group where, in a lot of cases, there's no local support for that person, but they can get online through a confidential system that we've set up that they can talk to other people that have had these types of things going on in their lives, which is so good. Especially we get people from the Bible Belt, for instance. You talk about really being on shaky ground if they try to talk about this, you know, because it's all thought of as being demons. And so we've been able to put them online with other people so that they can talk and get it off their chest. I mean, because the bottom line is that it is such a nerve-wracking thing to have this go on in your life. It's so out of the norm. Most people think they're going crazy. Sure. Well, in some cases, they may be. However, in a majority of the cases, they're not. And it's the kind of thing where, how do you tell somebody that last night you were taken through the walls of your bedroom up to this ship and they examined you on a table and you know, maybe implanted something in you?
Right.
I mean, it's just out of this world. Now, the thing that we're trying to do and appreciate you, Johnny, and you, Dave, that what you're doing here right now is letting me talk about this topic and get the word out to your listeners that, hey, if you know of people that are looking for help, give us a call. Our website is www.opus-net.org. And if you want to just remember the name, Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support, put that in, Google it, and it'll come up. The email address is on there for myself and June Steiner, who's a psychologist. People can leave a message anytime because we both have answering machines, and then we'll generally call back within 24 hours, and they can email us as well. And my background is that I've been involved with this for so long. I facilitated a support group for many years that I can really sense when somebody needs a certain type of help, and then we pass them along to a professional. And that's the one thing that, you know, we want to make clear to people is that when they call us, we try to listen to what they have to say, not make any judgments, and then pass them along to what they're looking for. If they're looking for a hypnotherapist to do regression work, we'll do that. If they're looking for a medical doctor to remove an implant, you know, we'll pass them on to Dr. Lear. You know,
exactly.
So it's that kind of thing.
You're going to be talking to to people that are not only sympathetic to what a person is going through, mm-hmm. but receptive to what they're going through. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Dave. One of the things that I said, and it's even in our bylaws, is that we're basically a neutral organization. We don't make any judgments, all right? And we listen to what people are saying. They're calling us because they need help. And so that's the way we approach it. And there's no, you know, like, oh, are you kidding me? I'll see you later. You know, hang up the phone. No, that never goes on. It's listen to what they have to say and try to point them in the right direction.
Is there a phone number that
yes.
they could possibly call?
That's
you get
right.
that out?
Sure. The phone number is area code 408-268-2837.
Perfect. So if any of our listeners or whatnot had a chance to hear this and you weren't on the Internet, there's the phone number. Give them a call. Les, we want to thank you again for joining us on the ATS website and telling us a little bit more and educating some of our listeners mm-hmm. about Opus and what they're doing.
Well, I tell you, I thank you very much, Johnny and Dave. Appreciate the opportunity to do that because together, you know, here we're helping people, and so that's great. It makes us all feel good.
Well, thanks a lot, Les. We
all
appreciate
right.
it.
Thank
thanks,
you.
Les. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, you bet.
Right.
Thank you.
It's the same dream night after night. I hear this beating, this rhythm. I'm wandering like an unfulfilled lost soul through this misty haze, but I keep following the sound. It seems like I walk forever. In the distance, I see something beautiful, magnificent. It seems so far away, yet so near that I could reach out and touch it. As I approach closer, I can see millions of people, all ages, races, religions, philosophies. People from around the world and from every nation on terrestrial earth. They're moving in mass towards something mystical, magical, magnetic. As I follow them, all of a sudden they begin to create a path for me to walk through. I can see something massive on the horizon. As I get closer, I see a banner unfurling in the gentle wind. It says, "Welcome to the revolution." The crowd begins cheering and celebrating. I'm so overwhelmed by the experience that I wake, still hearing the beating of the heart. And then my dream becomes crystal clear. I have found my Holy Grail. My thirst is quenched. My lifelong quest finally achieved. I have found AboveTopSecret.com. And my beating heart joins theirs. I have become a member. Welcome to our revolution. AboveTopSecret.com.
Kind of interesting here, Dave, because as you know, we're continuing on with our lecture series that we both experienced from the Bay Area UFO Expo.
Right.
And we had a chance to not only meet and greet a bunch of people that we have stood from afar and admired, but this is one gentleman that we're going to be pulling up on the lecture series for today's episode that I really kind of admire.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, what a great guy. I had the chance to meet him, and we had recorders going, of course, in all the lectures that we've done for the lecture series. But I got a chance to listen to a lot of what he was saying, and boy, I tell you, he really had a great reaction from the crowd, John.
Oh, well, sure. Well, being a government insider and being involved with a lot of the mysteries that you and I discuss and talk about on the ATS Mix has to be a plus. With that being said, let's waste no more time. Let's get right to it. This is Robert Odin from the Bay Area UFO Expo.
You know, sometimes incarnating on this planet can be a royal pain in the ass. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of the pains are not necessarily in that location, but they're in various places. We're only engineered for a certain period of time, you know. We were purposely engineered. You're all aware of that, I'm sure. The guys who did the engineering were particular about not engineering us for the long haul. They kept that for themselves. And I'm going to be discussing them quite a bit this afternoon because they're back in mass. According to Zechariah, my old friend Sitchin, they never left. But I got so much to cover here this afternoon, and I know there's not going to be enough time. I'd like to start at the beginning, but if I were to do that, we'd be here for 5 hours. 5 years ago, I stood up here, and I said that this is my last public presentation. I ain't going to do this no more. And here I am again. You're all very kind. Thank you very much. No, I was serious. I really intended not to come back and do this anymore. 5 years ago, I was up to here. Not only had I had my fill of the skeptics, and I'm sure you know who all of them are. I could name some of them. And I just was overwhelmed with these guys. They're so damn stupid. You know, they don't ever look at the evidence. They don't want to look at the evidence. Because it would help make them change their minds, and they don't want to do that. But I've encountered them over the years. I used to duel with old Phil Klass. Many of you remember Phil. He's gone to his rewards. God bless him. I used to duel with him at conferences from time to time. He even tried to sue me one time, and all I did was I complimented him. I said that he can't possibly be that stupid. He has to have an agenda and be working for someone. And he threatened to sue me for saying that. And I really did say that the man was much too bright to say some of the things he'd been saying. And I say the same thing about Shermer, Robert Schaefer, and Joe Nickel, and all the rest of them. You're familiar with them. You've seen them on the tube, I know, regularly. And these guys puzzle me how they can be so intelligent, and I know that they are intelligent men, and say some of the stupid damn things they say. And I say again, like I said to Phil Klass, you have an agenda, you're working for somebody. Now, I don't know this to be the case, but I'm suspicious. Anyhow, 5 years ago, I was very serious. I was finished. I'd given it up. Not only, as I said, did I have to fight with the powers that be, the authorities, but I got fed up with the skeptics. I call them the Septic Society. Because that kind of thinking is an infection. It's got to be. But here I am, and I wanted to kind of share with you why I'm back. There's a higher authority that summoned me, a higher power. I don't know whether she's sitting here in the audience or not, but it's Victoria Jack. And that's the higher authority that summoned me back. Vicky, are you here? Well, bless her heart. She's out there about somewhere. But a number of other things happened to me as well. After I walked away from this 5 years ago, I went back to Phoenix, and I became a recluse. I had my books, I had my records of music, classical music nut, and I had hundreds of books that I had never had a chance to read that I wanted to go through, and I've also been writing one myself for 15 years. I don't know whether it'll ever get published or not, because I don't think I'll ever find a publisher who would touch it. It would open up so damn many lawsuits. I had a heart attack, I had high blood pressure, I suffered from depression, and I sat there in Phoenix and I stewed in my own juices for 5 years. And finally, I received a phone call from a very high-ranking naval officer in the Pentagon. And this high-ranking naval officer on the phone said to me, "You old fart, get off your dead ass and get out and start speaking again." And needless to say, you know, being a gentleman, I try to watch my language a little bit. I was somewhat offended by this high-ranking naval officer who had the audacity to speak to me that way. Well, that high-ranking naval officer is my son. And he has certain privileges. He can speak to me pretty bluntly from time to time. We have a good relationship. My kid had been at the Pentagon for 5 years. He was on the short list to make admiral. He came down with a touch of cancer and had to operate, take a gland out, major surgery at Walter Reed. They had to put him through chemotherapy and radiation treatment and all that. And it was, you know, it all came out good. He's got a clean bill of health, and he could live another 25 years, hopefully. But they pulled him from the promotion list to admiral, and he's put his papers in, and he's retiring. But he's been a source of information and encouragement to me for many, many years. He's introduced me to people over the years. He's was responsible for a lot of the phone calls that I would get from people in sensitive positions. And much of the information that I will be sharing this afternoon has come from highly placed individuals in sensitive positions. I am so honored and pleased that one of the members of the Old Boys Network that I've been a member of for 40 years is sitting here in the front row here, Clifford Stone. God bless you, Cliff. Stand up. Cliff and I go back a few years, and as I said, I've been a member of a group we jokingly called ourselves the Old Boys Network. I've been a member of that for over 40 years. And over the years, we would share with each other. Many of us were all services and all ranks, enlisted, commissioned, Navy, Army, Marines, Air Corps, and a lot of civilians. John Mack, one of my dearest friends, was a member of the Old Boys Network. But over the years, they've been dropping off, you know. They've been going home. I'm still grieving over John Mack's death. I'm still puzzled over that. There's more to be told of that story than has been told. But anyhow, over the years, I've been sharing with these people, getting information. And I went to a conference in Laughlin here last February up in Nevada. Based upon my son's phone call and a couple of other prods from other old buddies, I went to Laughlin to their conference and enjoyed myself thoroughly and ran into two other members of the Old Boys Network. Don Ware, Lieutenant Colonel, retired U.S. Air Force. Wendell Stevens, Lieutenant Colonel, retired U.S. Air Force. He was one of... We've all shared things with each other over the years. Anyhow, I've got a couple of things this afternoon I wanted to talk to you about. One is, I don't know how many of you are aware, but your country is in deep shit. Pardon my language, ladies. I'm an old infantryman, and you'll have to forgive me, because some of these terms come out, and some of them are so appropriate, I can't avoid them. You're probably aware that the Federal Reserve just recently tried to take over your country. They took over much of it back in 1913 at a vote that was conducted at midnight on a Saturday, I believe, when nobody else was around. And they got a quorum together, and that's when the Federal Reserve was created. Well, they didn't want merely 90% of everything. They wanted 100%. And this latest thing over the last few days has been their attempt to conduct a coup on your country. And they haven't pulled it off yet, because a lot of people are fighting it. Thank God, a lot of guys are beginning to wake up in Congress. I use that term loosely because we've got a bunch of clowns back there that call themselves a Congress, and about 75% of them, I think, should be serving time in the federal penitentiary. Because they have trashed your Constitution. And it's been a process that's gone on year after year after year. A little bit here, a little bit there. 50% here, 20% there, another 10% over here. And that's how they managed to pull it off. And we've got guys, as I say, back there that should be in jail. And many of them are going to jail. Either from child molestation or, you know, complete thievery, which they're being caught up on. Anyhow, let me get back to why I'm here. Your government really is in bad shape. And I don't even know where to begin. I can't point my finger anymore at one particular branch, because we have traditionally had three branches of government in this country. You know, the judicial, the legislative, the executive. Well, we've got four branches now. And that's the national security community. They have become a branch of government unto themselves. And it's worse than you might imagine. What do we get from these guys? We get truths, half-truths, denials, lies, and damned lies. And I'm going to talk about a few of the damned lies here this afternoon for what time I have. I hope some of you can drop in at 5 o'clock because I've got some slides and stuff that I need to share with you. I've got photographs that'll blow you out of the water. I've got pictures taken by your own astronauts in space that have never been published. Photographs of our artificial ships, metallic, gigantic ships in orbit that followed our astronauts all the way to the moon and all the way back. And one photograph, this damn thing, is 5 miles long. And I'll show that this afternoon, among others. Now, time flies so fast, before I get lost in this thing and really get wrapped up, there's something else that I need to do here. In the midst here, in your presence, there's a man I consider to be a hero. He's a retired NASA scientist who's in our presence this afternoon, who retired from NASA a number of years ago and wrote a book called The Ringmakers of Saturn. And this book is absolute dynamite. Norman is here. He's got a few of them with him. There aren't many left. I would like for you, after this is over, shake his hand and thank him for the efforts that he's put into this. He's a man who has courage, and he's been brave enough to come out and publish some of the Voyager photographs that were taken years and years ago near the rings of Saturn, near Saturn and satellites in the rings. This book is worth its weight in gold. From what I'm told, Norman, he had to go to England to get it published. They wouldn't touch it in this country. NASA won't even refer to it. But this guy spent his career working for NASA and had the guts and the courage and the bravery to come out and publish this thing. And let me tell you why it's dynamite. On this cover, this little orange object you see here is an artificial object that's been constructed, self-luminous in the rings of Saturn, roughly the size of our moon. It moves around. On the back of the book is another thing. This object is over 2,000 miles long. Now, in my presentation, I want you to consider the kind of technology and the kind of civilization that can make these things. and have them all over our solar system. You talk about why your government doesn't want you to know some of this. Your government doesn't want you to know what's on the moon or on Mars. Your government does not want you to know the extraterrestrial facilities on our planet that are all over the damn place. I'm rambling here. I get so heated up on this. I want Norman Berggren to stand up over here. I want you people to give this man a round of applause. Every time I start complaining about my joints and my arthritis and my grunts and groans, you know, I'm not supposed to be here. For Christ's sake, I'm 9.5 years beyond my warranty as it is. What is it they say in the book, in the good book, you know? 3 score and 10? Yeah, I'm turning 80 here in my next birthday, and I groan and complain. And I look at Norman, and he smiled at me, and he says, I'm 87. Well, God bless you, Norman, and thank you for hanging around, and thank you for this book. And people, you better grab one before they're all gone. I don't think he has very many with him, but this book is dynamite, and the photographs in there will blow you out of the water. And some of them that I share with you this afternoon, taken by your own Apollo astronauts, will, I think, shake you up some. Well, let me do a bit of a review. I don't know how many of you ever heard me speak before. I've been babbling here now for about 15 years, 18 years. I've been involved in this thing for over 40 years. And how I got involved in it in the first place is that I was at SHAPE headquarters, Supreme Headquarters, Allied Powers in Europe in Paris, France, from 1963 to 1967, until General de Gaulle threw us out of France. We had to move the headquarters up to Brussels. While I was there, I was privy to a document that they had published. Took them 3 years. They published it in 64. They began it in 61. They called it the assessment, and it was an evaluation of the extraterrestrial presence. And that's what got me started. That's what wound me up. And once I learned what had been going on and what was taking place, I became an addict. I'm kind of sympathetic to guys who get addictions to drugs. Because this UFO thing and the ET presence to me has been an addiction for over 40 years. Because when I learned firsthand how real it was, how fast it was, and what it meant, the more I learned, the more I wanted to know, and the more I learned, the more addicted I became, and the more difficult I became to live with. I think this whole UFO thing has been probably the cause of my first 2 divorces. I'm on my 3rd marriage. I'm really serious because my son's mother, my first wife, couldn't deal with this at all, bless her heart. She, for some reason, she couldn't even abide the fact that I was a member of the APRO board of directors. That Wendell lived right across the street from me in Tucson in those days. And she couldn't handle it. And I run into other people. I have the same problem. I cannot leave it alone. And I think many of you in the audience can relate to that. I think you understand where I'm coming from here. Because once you learn the implications of this thing, well, let me tell you what really grabbed me in the first place. I was to learn over the years that the human race is a hybrid race. We were seeded here, and we have been genetically manipulated over the centuries continually into what we are today. That genetic manipulation is still going on. It hasn't stopped. We were put here, seated here. We were made human by a massive program of genetic engineering by a species and a race that apparently comes from a planet within our own solar system. And I'm making an assumption here that many of you here in the audience are familiar with the work of Zechariah Sitchin, because I'm going to be touching upon that from time to time during my presentation. I'm going to be using a term known as Anunnaki. Now, Zechariah was not the only scholar who worked in this field. There was another British scholar that I had always admired and respected, who again went home last year, or a year and a half ago. A British chap by the name of Christian O'Brien. who was also a cuneiform scholar like Zechariah, who could read cuneiform like you and I read the morning paper. Christian O'Brien wrote a dynamite book called The Genius of the Few. And I think you might still find it if you can get a copy, because he put in one book the kind of thing that Zechariah has put in seven volumes. But Christian O'Brien was a genius. The story he told is very, very similar, although he refers primarily to his work, to another group of the Anunnaki. Now, I'll be using the term Anunnaki repeatedly because it's a generic term. It means literally those who came down from above. Well, it's more than just the one group from Nibiru, the 10th planet. We are today dealing with four major extraterrestrial civilizations. Now, don't ask me to tell you exactly where they're from, because I don't think they have ever told anybody where they're from. We know that the ones we refer to as the Anunnaki are probably from Nibiru. And I've got a dynamite revelation to share with you in a few minutes here about not only are they involved in us again, according to Zechariah, they've never left. They're on the moon, they're on Mars, we have photographs, we know that. And again, your government decided you guys can't be given this information because you are children and you can't handle it. And if we were to tell you these things, you'd go running hysterically down the street. Well, bullshit, I don't believe that. I look around and I see people who are open-minded and intelligent and thoughtful, who are way the hell ahead of their government. You guys know things they haven't even thought. Well, they're scared to death. Your government. Who the hell refer to as your government? It's not the one you think you got. The government you think you have is not the government you got. We can't really put a finger on these bastards because they're unknown, they're not elected, they have their jobs in security, national security, they're behind the scenes, they're controlling the budget. Just to give you an example, one little tiny tidbit here, which I refer to some of the damn lies. 1998, 99, and the year 2000. $1.7 trillion a year disappeared from Department of Defense budget. Now, if you're like I am, you start tattling that up. $1.7 trillion a year for 3 years. And then the recent information we got in the year 2001, $3 trillion disappeared. Now that bunch of clowns that call itself a Congress are talk about dereliction of duty. These guys really ought to be locked up because they let that just go down the tube. They were reported on it. They were told about it by the Government Accounting Office. They did diddly because they're scared to death to touch it. But add it up, $1.7 trillion a year for 3 years, and then in 2001 it was $3 trillion. You know, I can tell you where the money is going. Well, partly. You have a space program that you probably don't even know about. If you think that bunch of clowns at NASA is running the space program with their Model T shuttle and all the other pathetic things they put together and spending billions of your dollars on, that's not the program you've really got. That's not the program you've really paid for. There is a separate space program, and Richard Hoagland has published it. I don't know whether Mike's in the audience here. Mike Barra is here. And he and Richard wrote this dynamite book called Dark Mission. And if you haven't read it, you must, because it's filled with truth. And I've known Richard for years, and I admire him. He and I go back to his first UN presentation years ago. But he and Mike have put together a book that really is outstanding. Read it. Points out very clearly that many of our Apollo astronauts were hypnotically conditioned after their flights. Why Ed Mitchell has admitted publicly that he cannot vividly remember exactly how he felt while he was walking on the moon. Now, if I or you or anybody else would walk on the moon, don't you think we would remember? And Ed Mitchell's been candid about it. He said, honest, I remember too vividly how I felt or what I saw. And that's pathetic. And according to Hoagland in his book, he and Mike put together, they were hypnotically regressed and conditioned to not remember. And that is heartbreaking, to take men like that. Buzz Aldrin got back from the moon, and they locked him up in a sanitarium for a month and a half, 2 months. And the answer was he was suffering from alcoholism. Now, if you believe that one of our finest astronauts who went through that whole program suffered from alcoholism, can't be. And then other friends of Aldrin have said that they've questioned him at parties and dinners. Old guys who flew with him years and years, get him aside, you know. Buzz, what did you really see out there? Come on, tell us. And there have been case after case where Aldrin would break down and cry like a baby. There were other cases when he was confronted with some of these things and said, look, we know this, Buzz. We know what the hell happened. He'd get sick. He'd get nauseous. He had to go out and vomit. Now, these are all results of somebody who's been hypnotically conditioned not to remember, or if they do remember, not to discuss it. And that's how bad this thing has become over the years. They joke about NASA being never a straight answer. That even doesn't begin to touch upon the depth of it. We have a separate space program, and I think that's where the trillions of dollars that have disappeared from the Department of Defense accounting have probably gone. My son's service, the Navy, has been the primary mover of that. It's all services. It's Navy, Army, Marines, Air Force. But the Navy has been in charge of it, apparently, from the very beginning, and they've been running Groom Lake and Site 51 from the very beginning. Bob Lazar's check stub had U.S. Navy on it, and I've gotten some straight poop from friends of my son's who have been in positions of sensitivity that they've been running the Aerospace Command. The Aerospace Command is a joint services operation, but the Air Force General, who is a very tall, good-looking, very handsome young man, 4 stars, by the name of Lance Lord. And if you can ever run into him or get a handle on where he is, supposedly he's got an office in Colorado Springs. I personally think he's got an office in orbit somewhere up there. But Aerospace Command, I think, has been getting the majority of your tax money, other than what the other guys have not been stealing. And we've got this space program, and I'll just give you a tiny little tidbit here. Many of you know this, I suspect. Ben Rich, who ran the Skunk Works at Lockheed Martin many, many years, he retired, and at a speech, at a dinner he gave, after I think he'd had a cocktail or two, and then he was retiring, he said, the hell with it, I'm out of here, why should I bother? Ben Rich said to the audience, he went up to the board and he wrote, unfunded opportunities. Because they'd been asking him, Ben, what the hell are you going? What have you been doing? What's going on at the Skunk Works? And he wrote, unfunded opportunities. And then everybody was puzzling and looked around and what? And he went over with the chalk and he circled UFO. And they said, are you serious? He says, that's it. That's where we got most of our hardware. And then he said, as if that wasn't enough, he says, we now have the technology to take E.T. home. Now, put those little words together and figure out what they mean. And when I tell you you've got a separate space program besides NASA, that's only a tiny bit of it. I was fortunate some years ago to have a long evening conversation and dinner with a retired Lockheed Martin engineer who had had above top secret clearance most of his career, David Froning. He lives up in Flagstaff, Arizona. David shared with me and a few people, he said, look, he says, I've been retired for 10 years. He says, before I retired, we were working and designing and engineering hyperluminal craft. And I said, hold on a minute, let me grab this. You're telling us that Lockheed Martin was working with an engineering hyperluminal craft. David, that means faster than light. And he said, yeah. We were working on that 10 years before I retired. He says, we've got it. And I said, where the hell did you get it? He says, I can't tell you that because I'm still covered by my security oath. He says, we had hyperluminal craft 30 years ago. Now, when we know that Ben Rich said what he did when he retired, and then David says we've had it for over 30 years, then you can put two and two together, and being intelligent people, you can pretty damn well figure where many of that money is, much of that money's been going. You do have a separate space program, and that infuriates me that you guys are paying for this kind of activity, and the government says you do not have a right to know. Well, I can relate to some of it, because the more I've learned, the more uncertain I've become. When I learned that we have four extraterrestrial civilizations in our midst, and that one of them genetically engineered us over the centuries, again and again and again, and then I find out that they're in our midst again. Zachariah says they never left. They've been here from the beginning, putting their sticky little fingers into our lives. And now I understand why, when I first learned about the assessment and the government wanted to keep this secret, why the admirals and generals were so scared to death to let you know what they knew. So they were scared to death to admit to you what they don't know. And I wanted to get back to a little bit of why I'm here, because when I was sitting over there in Phoenix, stewing in my own juices, and self-destructing, actually, with the heart and the high blood pressure and all the rest of it, I was drinking a little too much bourbon, smoking too many big black cigars, that I literally was in my son says, Pop, you're trying to kill yourself. You're just simply committing suicide slowly. And I had to agree with him, it was true. So what happened to me, which I want to share with you of why I'm here, is I began to meditate. I've always tried it, and every time before I try it, I go to sleep. And many of you, I'm sure, have run into the same damn problem. You get into that, you know, and you're gone. But I learned how to do it pretty well, and then a number of my Army friends, a lot of retired guys, that I, Lynn Buchanan and Joe McMonigal, who I'm sure you're familiar with, part of the Stargate program years ago to remote view, gave me some pointers, and I did some remote viewing. Oh, let me tell you, for those of you who may have done it, and every one of you is capable of it, if you haven't, you ought to give it a try. But beware that once you do, your life ain't going to be the same. Because I ended up having a couple of out-of-body experiences that I had not planned on. Out-of-body excursions, I call them. They were not near-death experiences. I simply stepped out and did a little traveling. And that's why I'm here, and I'm in damn good shape, and I plan to be around another 10 years. And I've been told, not only by my son, but get your good ass back there. Share with them what you've learned and what you've been provided. Because I had information provided to me by old friends in high places with the understanding that I would blab about it. And I have been doing that. And that's why I'm back, and I'm blabbing today, and I'll be blabbing up a storm here at 5 o'clock. And if you get a chance, drop in and say hello, because I've got photographs to share with you that I think are dynamite. Not only pictures of what Norman has in his outstanding book that were taken by Voyager. God, how many years ago was that, Norman? 22 years ago, Voyager took these photographs. And only through the bravery and courage of a man like Norman here do we have access to them. But I've got a couple of shots from Apollo. Well, I've got shots from Apollo 13. And just in closing, this is a tidbit that is a fact. You wonder what happened to the guys in Apollo 13. They had a little accident on their way. And that little accident was engineered, not by them, but by a third party. And it seems, and I got this from a source that knew what he was talking about, Maurice Chatelain, who's gone home, no longer with us, was the director of communications for the entire Apollo program. And Maurice Chatelain had designed and engineered the comm system for Apollo. He stood in what do they call it, the control section there, during almost all of the Apollo shots. And they had direct feed. I mean, they heard every word that the astronauts in orbit were saying. And Chatelain says it was common knowledge of those of us in the program that Apollo 13 carried a small nuclear device. And some nitwit in NASA had told them to place this on the moon and they were going to detonate it after they got back in their little, whatever they call it, and got back up in orbit. Because they have learned over the years that the moon appears to be hollow. It ain't what we thought it was. It is an engineering phenomenon in orbit around our planet. And it is occupied and apparently massively empty inside. And NASA was going to detonate a small nuclear device so they could monitor the reverberations and the vibrations, the seismic effect in the moon. Because when they had crashed a few of their old landers back in the moon later, after they had placed some seismic devices there, the moon rang like a bell for a couple of hours. And the engineer said, "My God, what's causing that? You know, it sounds like it's hollow." Well, apparently, if it isn't hollow, it's damn near so. Anyhow, Apollo 13 was going to place this, go back in orbit, detonate it, and they were going to monitor the seismic effects. The guys who were running the big program said, "You ain't going to do that. We have a base up here. We're living up here. We have a facility here. You're not going to detonate no stupid nuclear device on our little satellite here." And they engineered the accident. I think it was an explosion of an oxygen tank or something. And the guys were lucky to get back. But they were followed all the way and all the way back. And they took picture after picture after picture. And I've got several of them this afternoon to share with you, including the one with the object, the Big Mother, no pun intended, 5 miles long. And I used to think, God, 5 miles. Can you imagine a ship, an artificial constructed metallic object out there that's 5 miles long? I've been on an aircraft carrier with my son. He spent 28 years in the Navy, 29 actually. And he was on carriers for 12 years of his service. And I was fortunate enough to be on a carrier a few times. I took what they called the Tiger Cruise, where crew members' families could go aboard for a period of a few days. And I looked at an aircraft carrier, which is roughly about 1,000 feet long, 5,000 men on it. A crew of 5,000 men on an aircraft carrier. That's in the Nimitz class. And then I thought to myself, look at that Big Mother out there that's 5 miles long, and try to imagine what's going on out there. And I jokingly said that they probably have bowling alleys, you know, theaters, snack bars, everything we've got here, they've got. And they probably have a TV viewing room where they can go in and watch human TV and laugh their socks off. One of the facilities that they have maintained on this planet is in the middle of Australia, deep underground. And that facility has been determined by our remote viewers as being a rest and relaxation facility for the ETs. And I said, that makes sense. Because you deal with human beings, you need a rest and relaxation facility. If you walk in our midst, watch our TV, dine in our restaurants, you need R&R, which apparently they have. And then we, in our genius, our national security agency, built a facility right in the middle of Australia called Pine Gap, which is sitting apparently right on top of the extraterrestrial facility. We have another extraterrestrial facility in Alaska under Mount Hayes. And there's another one under the mountain in Spain, Mount Perdido, which is on the Spanish-French border. And there's another one in Zimbabwe. And there's another one in the Puerto Rican Trench, deep underwater. But they have an outlet on Puerto Rico itself, in the mountain there. One of our major extraterrestrial facilities where we and they are working together is at Kwajalein Atoll in the Pacific. where they and we are working together on a daily basis. So as I tell you, when Zechariah says they never left, they never left. And they're involved in our lives again. And let me tell you, these guys have apparently the genetic engineering capability of engineering their own lives to what you would call, you and I might look upon as a form of immortality. Physically, they've created themselves to a point where they never get sick. And if they want to live 1,000 years, they can live 1,000 years. If they get tired and want to get the hell out of it and go over to the other side and then maybe come back again, they can do that. But they have the technology, and they've had it for, God knows, 100,000 years to engineer themselves, and now they apparently have got their big sticky fingers in our engineering to a point that, what were the two scientists? I keep forgetting their names. We had these two guys that discovered the double helix. I think they won Nobel Prizes, did they not, for discovering the double helix? Well, I'm not about to say, and I don't want to take any credit from them because they were geniuses, but there's a suspicion that they might have gotten a little help from the guys who originally designed the double helix and gave poor old Adam a rough row to hoe. Oh, speaking of Adam, I got to share one thing. As I've been told my time is up. I want to tell you something, and I want this to be the end of my remark here. There is no such thing as original sin. And if you've ever been told that, get it out of your head, because there ain't nothing known as original sin. They talk about the fall of man, man falling. Man didn't fall, man was pushed. But the guys who did that are now back working with us again, and hopefully their attitude toward us has changed a little bit. So they're now helping us re-engineer ourselves. And when you look at the implications of the genetic code and what that double helix means, we literally can pluck the apples from the tree of life and we can re-engineer ourselves. And things are going on in United States scientific laboratories today that are not legal because they haven't gotten the legality through congressional laws. But there are scientists that are re-engineering our species even today. And within a year or two or a few years, it could be going, who knows, you guys will be able to be manipulated genetically. You go into a scientific laboratory, and if you've got a problem, they can fix it. They've got not only nanotechnology, they got stem cell research. And when you look at the genetic code and nanotechnology and stem cell accomplishments, we literally are on the verge of creating a new species ourselves. But we're not doing it alone. The guys who engineered us originally are back, and they apparently are helping. Maybe they feel a little guilt. I doubt that. But, you know. And one last remark. I want to say something else to you about 2012. Don't worry about it. 2012 is 4 years ago. Jesus of Nazareth was born on the 1st of March, 7 B.C. And if you really want to count from his birth, as the old Christian tradition has it, 2012 happened already. We're in 2015 already. So don't worry about that. I'm going to get up Christmas morning on 2012 and celebrate it. But it's supposed to be 21 December or something like that. No, forget it. It's not something to worry about. It's just as big a boogie-boo as the 2000 thing was. Y2K, yeah. And so that came and went, and 2012 is going to come and go. God bless you.
Well, Dave, I got to tell you, this show was not too bad. I enjoyed having Stephen, a.k.a. the Cracker from Above Top Secret, do his little anonymous posting. You know, we might want to think about doing that, I don't know, say like maybe once a month or something like that. That might be kind of fun.
Yeah, it might be. And of course, we always value the input from our members and guests here on AboveTopSecret.com. to let us know what they like about shows or don't like about shows, and feel free to post those on the show thread itself.
I was just going to say, speaking of input, you had a little thing, a little game that you had going on here in this past week or so with a caption contest with George Bush. How did that turn out?
In the spirit of David Letterman and great presidential speeches, I wanted to say a fond farewell from the ATS community to our beloved President George W. Bush, and put a photo up and, you know, a caption contest for us. And, I mean, we finally got down to having a winner, and I'd like to just give my congratulations from Johnny and I. Our first-place winner was Goal Poster, who won 50,000 ATS points. Our second place winner was Green Eyed Leo, that won 30,000 points. And our third place winner was Mr. Whoopi, an old friend of ours, and he won 20,000 points. And of course, our brother moderator that has bragging rights for until the next caption contest is Yao Wright. So, congratulations to everybody. Your points have already been awarded. So, anyway, John, great show. Congratulations on being. Being my partner for over a year again, and, you know.
You sound like you're winning an Academy Award or something.
Hey, I don't know. I've got Alzheimer's. I don't give a rat's ass. So anyway, until next time, I'm Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Anonymous. Thanks for joining us.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.